The Girlfriend Bracket is brought to you by Gathering Magic and CoolStuffInc.com. Now, one of the reasons that I love Cool Stuff Inc. is because of their rewards program, which you become a member of just by making a purchase. After that, every purchase you make pushes you towards another level of the program, which means even more savings. Right now, I'm on level 6, which means I save 8% on all of my magic singles and 2% on booster boxes and board games. So head on over to CoolStuffInc.com and start saving money today. Hello, this is episode number 9 of the Girlfriend Bracket. My name is Erin.
I'm Hallie.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Chris.
And we are all feeling a little under the weather today, but we're going to try to pick it up and give you all a good show. So we're going to start off with our shout-outs as usual. The first person I want to shout out is a young lady. I believe her name is Haley. Is how you pronounce it?
Yeah, I had asked her how to pronounce her name because she calls herself Hal on Twitter, and I also call myself Hal, so I wasn't sure if she was a Hallie also, but she is in fact a Haley.
I've never called you Hal.
You asked me if you could call me Hal once.
Did I? And you said you didn't mind?
I didn't mind, no.
Okay. Is this like a 2001 reference or just Hal for Hallie?
I don't know. It's just Hal. That's what my parents have been calling me since I was a little kid, so.
Okay.
Really? Yeah, I'm so used to calling you Hallie. I don't know. I feel kind of... I don't think I could ever call you that. I don't know why, but just I have a mental block.
Yeah, either or is fine.
All right, good to know. So Haley wrote a post at Brainstorm Brewery, and she called it The Status of Women in Magic in Optimistic Prognosis, and this was really good. It was very smart. She's super lovely. If you get a chance, follow her on Twitter. I'm under the impression that she's going to be continuing to write posts like this, so if you get a chance, take a look at that, and I'm anxious to see what she comes up with.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt a little bit bad for her because the article found its way to Reddit, and somebody called her, like, the cancer of feminism or, like, a feminist cancer. And I was like, oh, you poor thing. And
what?
Yeah, people were really harsh to her, and I felt bad. So
that's really unfortunate.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I wanted to invite her to our little party and be like, come hang out with us because we think you're swell. And
yeah. So.
The other shout-out I wanted to give, we got another positive review this week on iTunes, and this one struck a particular chord with me. The reviewer's name was Sing Me Sweetly. They gave us 5 stars and said, if you like magic and women with opinions, boy, is this the podcast for you. I live in a very small town with no card shops where I am pretty much the most competitive female magic player around, which is saying something, and most of my girlfriends are nowhere near as interested in the meta or magic as I am. It is such a nice feeling to be able to listen to women with similar opinions as me. My boyfriend is probably annoyed about the amount of time I've spent raving about this show since discovering it, but I have so many good things to say about it. And I've actually heard that from a number of women who either say that they talk about our show a lot, or I've heard from their partners who say, my wife talks about it all the time, my girlfriend talks about it all the time, and that feels really cool to know that we're striking a chord with people where they wanna talk about us and they feel like they're one of us.
Yeah.
Really, really, really cool. So let's go ahead and get started with our topics. Chris, I'm under the impression that you went to a PPTQ this past weekend. How did that go?
I actually placed a last. Yeah, it was pretty bad. I didn't have nearly as much fun at the PPTQ as I did Games Day the weekend before. I piloted Blue Black Control again, Adrian's list. One of my friends has suggested to me not to play it because he was like, you know, it really doesn't have a specific win condition. And I can see what he's sort of getting at, but I guess I just kind of disagree. You know, I think you just have to be really careful while playing it. And I think that a big part of it is hoping that people possibly will concede once they see you kind of drop Ugin so you can get to the next game. Because it seems like that's kind of like the closeout for people to be like, all right, let's just go to the second game. But round one, I lost out of 3 to Jeskai Tokens. I kind of gave him a run for his money the first game, but after that, I just couldn't deal with ascendancy triggers and getting hit for like 6. That was pretty devastating.
Yeah.
Round two, I played Esper Dragons. I won the first game. He won the second game. We drew game three because we barely had any time to play. But it was probably one of the most boring matches I've ever played. We both agreed about that. He's like, in the interest of speeding up the tournament, let's just hurry and try to go to game three. And then he's like, oh, forget it. He's like, you fine with drawing? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. Round three, I don't remember what I played. I suspect it was Esper Dragons because it was Esper Dragons everywhere. But it was all at the back tables. It did not do well at all. But I figure everyone probably jumped on it, figured it would be the good deck to play, maybe came with it and didn't practice, and sure enough, one of the better players at our store, that's what he said he did. He was like, yeah, you know, I just picked up the deck, I haven't played it at all, and he did very, very poorly with it. And he's actually who I played round four.
I think it also has to do with the way that because every site had articles about Esper Dragons it was on the extremes where they were either writing about Esper Dragons or they were writing about how to beat Esper Dragons. It was a very popular topic, so I'm not surprised to see that it turned out that way.
Oh yeah, it was just weird though when I saw our top eight. I'm like, really? There was like not a one in there. Round five, I got the bye. And then round six, I played Blue-Red Dragons that I had played the night before at FNM. And he was kind of onto my deck, and I was onto his. But by the time we got to game two, I was like, you know, it's been a long day. I'm just going to concede to you. But I was still glad I went, you know, to at least try to play. Our top eight ended up being Red, White, Awesome, Teemer, Red Deck Wins, piloted by Aaron's friend and my friend Morgan.
Yay!
Red Green Midrange, Red Green Aggro, Red Green Dragons. My ex-boyfriend was piloting Mardu Tokens, which was decimating Esper Dragons. Was pretty crazy. And Junk Unseen. So I just think it's funny because he's always ahead of the curve with the decks that he plays, and everyone always tells him it's going to be awful, it's not going to do well, but sure enough, Mardu Tokens ended up being the answer to the beating us for Dragons. So I was really happy for him and for Morgan for doing pretty well and made up for the fact that I did pretty abysmally. So
Mardu Tokens sounds like a very conservative choice for your ex, given what I know about him. Was there any spicy cards in there? Because I can't imagine him going with just a stock list.
Let's see, what's he have in there? He has four Secure the Wastes. He's got four Mardu Charms, Crackling Doom, Holagon's Command, Sorin, Burst Response.
Oh, God.
What is that?
What does that do?
Oh, God. I don't even know.
Oh, I do. I do. Okay, so First Response was a card that there was an article on the Mothership a couple weeks ago where they were talking about cards that they, you know, when they're doing all of their testing and they're doing the Future League, there are cards that they expect to be big, and there are cards they design to then deal with these cards that they expect to be big. And if I remember the article correctly, I think Sam Stodd wrote the article. He said that First Response was one of the cards they were predicting to be a problem or to pick up steam, and it never really did. It's an enchantment from Magic 2015. It's white. It costs three colorless and a white, and it says at the beginning of each upkeep, if you lost life last turn, put a 1/1 white soldier creature token onto the battlefield. And they had predicted that people were going to use that and Mana Confluence to just be like, oh, lose a life token, oh, lose a life token, or even the pain lands, you could, oh, shock myself, oh, there's a token. And they were expecting that card to be a big deal. And I'm not surprised. Interesting that Chris would pick up on it.
Yeah, and he also, because he was sick of dealing with red, he decided to put in a four Circle of Flame in his sideboard. So after that, he was like, whatever. He was like, I got Circle of Flame to protect me. So yeah, but he did well. I was really proud of him. He had to post on Twitter that I was hating on him because I was doing poorly. And I was like, hey, man, you ride it out to the finals. But he ended up losing to, oh, God, I think it was Red Green Dragons, but he still did well, so I did poorly, but next time.
What changes do you think you're going to make going forward? Like, are you still going to continue with blue-black, or do you think that you're going to go more conventional and hop on the Esper bandwagon?
I'm not sure. I'm trying to decide if I still want to do blue black or maybe if I want to not play a control deck. I'm not sure. Like, I mean, I like control and I like that people are trying to definitely push to make it a thing again. But I did have some people say to me that they didn't feel that Esper Dragons was necessarily a control deck. Some people felt it was more like a mid-range deck. So I don't think that Esper Dragons is my play style. I know that there's a player at our store who he was playing blue black just like I was, and at the PPTQ he brought Esper and he did like I said, not very well with it. He goes up to the front, I'm like, what you doing? He's like, trading it in. He's like, I'm keeping the Ojitai's and getting rid of the rest of it. He's like, I'm gonna do Ojitai Bant instead. He's like, Esper Dragons just isn't really my play style. And that was a deck I had thought about. So maybe I would do Ojitai Bant or maybe try a different build for Blue Black. I liked Adrian's build, but maybe I need to just do something a little different and kind of change it up.
I've been thinking about building Ojitai Bant too. I saw a few people playing it at RPTQ and or PTQ, and it looks like super grindy, like a control deck that I would like to play, but with creatures instead. But it seemed like a lot of those decks were taking like the longest to pilot, and I might try building that one too.
I certainly think, with regard to the Adrian Sullivan list, and this isn't any shade towards you, but I think Adrian Sullivan is just one of those players where the lists he plays, only he could get away with. And Gerard Fabiano is kind of the same way too. You see them play these lists and they're good lists. There's nothing wrong with the deck and they're very attractive lists. Like people look at them and want to play them. But there are just those pros that it only works in their hands. And I've learned that lesson particularly with Conley Woods, where, Conley Woods, makes these decks. I remember at the last the M15 Pro Tour, I think it was, he was playing like Necromancer Stockpile. And it looked amazing, but in my hands, it completely fell apart. I also fell for that trick when he was playing Grizzlebrand and Cryptghast at Pro Tour Gatecrash. Same thing. I saw this list. I was like, oh, it worked for Conley. It must work for me, too. And there are just certain pros out there where I still love seeing their lists, like when I see them on camera, but I do have to kind of tell myself that that's a Conley Woods brew, and only Conley Woods can make it work. So I'm just going to stick with what I know and what I know works, and let them have those brews. And I think the list specifically that you were piloting, I think it's just better in Adrian's hands. And
Oh yeah, I mean definitely like he does very well with it, and I think in the article that he wrote following up from the tournament, he said that when he brought the initial list and other people were trying to play it, even that he was testing with, nobody was doing well with it for him. So there is that too. So I might put it down and give something else a whirl.
I hope you find something you like.
Me too.
So, Katie, your judge conference was this past weekend. Did you play Judge Jeopardy?
We did play Judge Jeopardy. So I want to start. So we did a pre-TQ that day as well, and I had judged it. And here in Montana, we only have 3 level 2s for the entire state. And we all live in the same town, and all 3 of us are best friends. So we all went up together, along with somebody who wanted to test for his L1 on Sunday. And I was so proud of them. The other 2 L2s, Cody and Brooke, both made top 8. And I was like, look at us go. The L2s can play Magic as well. Obviously not me, because I wasn't playing. But Brooke played a list that was Esper, no dragons. Because he didn't feel like battling over who landed the first dragon and could protect it. So he played something with like Perilous Vaults and Elspeth and a list like that. And then Cody played like a red black aggro list that just beat up on all the Esper decks. And then they got paired in the quarterfinals and had to play. And Cody won with red black, and then he ended up losing to Abzan aggro, who then ended up sweeping the tournament, and the person who was piloting it was from my town, so we were all very proud of him for winning. But anyway, yeah, we had the judge conference on Sunday, and all 4 of the people who wanted to test all passed. So we increased our level 1 population from 15 to 19, so about by 25%, which was really awesome. And we played Judge Jeopardy. It went really well. We had organized a conference last year, August-ish, September-ish, and it just wasn't as well planned as this one. So this one went a lot smoother, and all of the stores donated playmats, and one of the stores donated a From the Vault Annihilation, and we got to give away random prizes, and we gave away some judge promos, and it was a really awesome weekend.
Wow, congratulations on boosting your numbers.
Thanks, we really need it. We're trying really hard. It turns out it's hard to run every event every weekend by yourself, so...
Now, was this something, I think if you mentioned this before, I apologize for not remembering, but this was something that you all chose to do yourselves. This didn't, like, come down from the DCI, like, hey, you've got to boost your numbers.
No, this is basically all me and Brooke. Cody's been really busy with school and stuff, but we will both be leaving next summer, so summer of 2016, and we really want to leave the state in good hands. So we've been really pushing to try and get people to become judges and teach them what it's about. And hopefully we can get a couple more L2s so that when we leave, we can still have pre-TQs in the state. Because it's kind of looking right now like pre-TQs will just stop for Montana.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's awesome that you care enough about your community and state to do that.
Yeah. And even though it wasn't an official conference, Jeremy Bahunin, who is our regional coordinator for the Northwest, sent us some promos to give away besides the promos that were just out of our own pockets. And so that was really awesome. So I just wanted to give him a shout out and thank you for doing that because it made everybody's experience really great.
Very nice. I know the game that we played on the last episode was really well received, and we received a number of tweets from people saying that they were either inspired or that they learned something, and it sounds like you're doing good work here, too.
I also saw somebody who's like, maybe you guys could film the match interactions, because us L2s would play against each other, and then we'd mess up, and then we'd go over what the penalty was and how to fix it with the L1s and the judge candidates. And I was thinking that maybe I think Brooke and I will do that in the next week or two and try and post that somewhere, so I'll have a link for that hopefully soon.
Nice.
Very cool.
Yeah.
This past weekend, there was also an open, like there usually is, in Cleveland, I believe. Cleveland?
Sounds right.
Cleveland. And a troubling incident took place. Chris, I think you're the one who actually alerted me to this. There was a young lady who had been chosen to play in a feature match named Brenda Smith. Brenda Smith had never done a feature match before. This was her first time on camera. She was playing Jund Dragons. And you know me, I hear the word Jund, I'm fucking in. It can be Jund Aggro, it can be Jund Land Destruction, I don't care, just give me Jund and I'm there. So I was very excited to see how this went, but I wasn't able to watch because Twitch has not been working on my work computers, and I had to work overtime that day. Apparently, Twitch chat was very terrible towards her and began making comments about her appearance and about her weight, and things got ugly fast. Chris, yep. How did you feel about this?
Initially, I was just very shocked because I just couldn't believe that people were so terrible for no reason. I was getting ready for the PPTQ, and I had the stream next to my makeup mirror, and I looked up. I'm like, oh, sweet. You know, there's lady on camera. Awesome. I'm going to watch this. And I should have known better, but I decided, I'm like, you know, I'm just going to look. I want to see if people are making positive comments about her being on there. And it was just like... a stream of people just being negative for no reason. And I know you're not supposed to feed the trolls and you're not supposed to feed into it, but I felt like I needed to say something. And I was like, I don't see the point of being rude for no reason. And they were like, well, we're rude if we say a woman's attractive. We're rude if we say someone's unattractive, you know, we can't win type of thing. And I guess I just kind of disagree with that. I think there's a way to say that you feel that someone's attractive without being over the top and talking about being over sexualized. I would have no problem if some girl was on stream and they were like, oh, you know, she's pretty or she's hot or she's beautiful. Fine, whatever. Believe it at that. Mm-hmm. And if you find someone not appealing to you, keep it to yourself. I don't know why people feel the need to always say the negative. And there were some people that were jumping in and, you know, sharing my opinion, being like, hey, guys, this is why we can't have nice things. You know, why would you say this? You know, you're a part of the problem. And I just said, you know, you should be better representatives for the magic community. You know, this is sad that you feel the need to put someone down. This community should be bringing people up instead of putting them down. They should be admiring people for their talents and, you know, for trying to do better instead of insulting them for pretty much like old news. Like, if you point out the obvious flaws of someone, it's not anything they haven't already heard before. You're beating a dead horse and you're just kind of being an asshole for no good reason. And I just started getting enraged and I'm like telling my boyfriend who's in the shower, be like, I can't believe, you know, that this is going on. And he's like, yeah, he's like, that's awful. My ex-boyfriend was kind of like, well, it's internet hate machine. You know, this is just how people are. And I'm like, well, just because, you know, this is how people can be, I just expect better because I believe that people can be better than this. And it just kind of really hurt me that people would just, you know, say and do these things to a person that they don't even know anything about. And they're just being insulting and jerks for the lulz. And if they're grown, you know, men, women, whoever are saying these comments, fuck, you should know better. It's just kind of sad. So, you know, I was happy though that people got on, the Twitch stream and were defending her, that people on Twitter were bringing it to Star City's attention that, hey, there's no mods in here. Someone needs to do something. I don't hold Star City really at fault for anything. I hold people at fault for their own bad behavior. I wish there had been mods in there, and they did get some people in later, which was good. And MTG Diversity, they offered to get some people to help moderate, which was cool. Mm-hmm. I believe Sweetabit also offered to help moderate, which was cool as well. But I'm just really sad that it happened, and stuff like that is honestly why I really hope to never be on stream, because I don't want to deal with people just being, I don't know, shitty for no reason than just to be shitty.
Yeah. I had pretty much the same reaction. And I think what's even sadder is that when I was reading, there was a comment that Brenda posted that made the rounds. I think you retweeted it, Erin,
yep,
where she said, I was afraid of this happening. And this was my first time on coverage, but the main reason why I was so nervous was because I knew they would be cruel to me. Mm-hmm. Like, I am so saddened when I read that, because I don't want people to, I don't know, you should want to be on camera. You should want to be out there representing the community and doing well and demonstrating how well you can play this game. And I hate that there are, you know, factors outside of someone's ability to actually play the game that can deter them from wanting to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what really made me angry was kind of like, you know the saying, boys will be boys, and how, you know, society is kind of trying to change that into, no, that's not really a fair statement to make. It's kind of the same with Twitch chat. Like, people were like, oh, well, you should know that people are going to be vicious on Twitch chat. And I just don't fucking believe that. Like, it takes the same amount of effort to be kind as it does to be mean. And it's not like they're getting anywhere by being mean, but they might actually get somewhere by being nice. Absolutely. Like, by encouraging more females to play. And I guess it just feels like a really two steps forward, one step back kind of thing, which is really frustrating, because it seems like a lot of people are getting on this movement of the Magic community becoming more accepting, and then something like this happens that just really is frustrating for not only her, but like all of us, and most other women that were watching it, I'm sure. And it's just really disheartening. Mm-hmm.
Before I get into my thoughts on this, I do want to say that Brenda managed to overcome all of that and went 6-3 and came back to play day two.
You fucking go, girl.
Yeah.
So you better work, Brenda, because if that were me, I would probably be locked in a bathroom stall, eating my weight in Kit Kats, and weeping copiously, because that's how I deal with things. So the fact that you were able to overcome all of that, brava. Just before I get started. I agree with you guys. I think the Twitch chat excuses they're played out. They're terrible. The fact that, like you said, the fact that she even had the expectation that they were going to be cruel indicates that there's a problem. The fact that we've become so numb to it, that's just Twitch chat. That doesn't make it okay. Like, yeah, Twitch chat is terrible, but that should not be the expectation. That should not be the standard that we've given for Magic coverage and for Twitch chat. We should be wanting more. We should be aiming for more. And I get so frustrated when I hear those lines like that, because it doesn't make it okay. Even if that's true, that doesn't make it right. Mm-hmm. And I was so upset by this. I was literally shaking. I was furious. And situations like this really make me want to stop being nice. You know, we've talked about respectability. And one of the last comments I read on Gabby Spartz's article was this guy, and I'm basically paraphrasing here, and he said something along the lines of, "Thank you for being nice about all of this." And when I hear things like that, and then I see things that are being thrown at Brenda, I don't care about being nice. You know, mm-hmm. and it's things like that where it's like, I am not going to be nice to those people. You know, there are people that I am willing to educate and inform and clear things up with. But then there are people where I'm just not going to be nice. Like, I don't feel like I should have to hold their hands and teach you how to be a decent human being. Like, that is something that I can't fix. Like, and so when I saw those things being thrown her way, I gave up at that point. I was like, I don't know what I can do. I don't think being nice helps in that situation. And I think the only response for me was to get angry. You know, there are some people, you know, like Tifa, who, bless her heart, can no matter what you say to her, she'll have a smile for you and she will be nice. And God bless her for doing that. But I'm just not a big enough person to do that. I was angry. I was pissed. I wanted everybody to know I was pissed, and I wanted something to be done about it. And that's just the only thing I felt throughout that whole thing, was just anger. And, you know, you also said something else very interesting. You said that you didn't really hold SCG, it's not their fault, or, you know, that they're not to blame for that. And I agree for the most part, but I also feel like SCG has the ability to affect the discussion. You know, we've talked before about how pro players, people will listen to pro players. You know, if Brad Nelson tells you to play a deck, they will play that deck. If Tom Ross says buy these cards, you will buy these cards. I think if SCG tells you to not be a dick, you're more likely to not be a dick. So yeah. I think they do have the power to say, this is not okay. We will put mods in here. We will take a stand against this. And I think that would get a lot of people to care about it who otherwise wouldn't, and make it more clear.
I agree.
Yeah, and it's kind of, I don't know if I mentioned this before, but I did coverage judging at Denver. And coverage judging is really fun. Like, you get to watch people who are good at the game. You get to sit down and rest your feet, and you get to just focus on one match of Magic. And I don't like reading the Twitch comments, but I did hear through the grapevine, I was judging Little J's match. I can't remember who exactly he was playing against, but the kid is like 10, I don't know, somewhere between like 8 and 14. Those are all kind of the same age to me, but... small. And there was people on there that were saying things like, oh, look at that judge, she wants to bang that kid. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, I don't even know how you could draw conclusions like that. And this is something I like to do, so I don't understand. Like, I'm not affecting you. I don't know why you're trying to affect me. And that just goes for like all of Twitch. Like, I just don't understand where people are coming from by writing mean things. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that we even need Twitch chat? Because somebody just said, if it's going to be this terrible, just get rid of it. Like, it's beyond saving. Do you think that's the answer, or do you think that it serves a purpose?
I know that some people I know that I think Paolo even said that when I suggested, you know, if it's going to be this out of control, maybe we should just get rid of it. And he was like, I think that it helps enhance the experience. And for some, it might. I mean, I don't really participate in chats when I'm watching any stream. I just kind of zone out and do my thing. But for some people, it could be beneficial to them. So I feel bad if they were to take it away, that it would, you know, ruin someone's experience, that a bunch of bad apples, you know, spoil the whole bunch. But it's kind of a sensitive subject, and they already took the chat away before. Now they have it back, and people are just back to being asshats. So I don't know.
And if they take it away, maybe it'll just move on to Twitter or something where you can tweet, you know, at SCG Live. Oh. I don't know if they have somebody moderating that as well. But, you know, a lot of those threads that I saw were based on tweets and not exactly the chat. So I think that's also an issue that needs to be addressed in some manner.
Either way, something needs to be done, because that was just grotesque.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it made me so angry when I left for the PPTQ. It just kind of ended up souring the beginning of it for me, because I was just, like, bewildered. Like, what did I just see? Like, is this, like, going on? I don't know. Feels like people should be better, and it was just frustrating. So, listeners, be nice on Twitch chat, please.
And I don't know why looks matter, I guess.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't seem like mm-hmm. when you see, you know, Huey playing against some other person, people aren't like, oh, look at Huey's shirt today. Like, or anything about how he looks, except maybe slightly teddy bearish. But, you know, besides that, like, why does it matter what she looks like? Like, if she can play magic, then who cares?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And even if she can't play magic, like, she can improve. Yeah. Like, yeah. This is not, I don't know, not look-based. This is a skill-based game.
Yeah.
Right.
Another hot topic that's been making the rounds lately is the issue of scouting. And for those who don't know, this is the practice where somebody goes around the room and takes stock of what people are playing. And I think in this particular case, it had to do with pro tours and the idea that the teams have these spreadsheets, or they have these documents that they have to keep track of what their competition is playing. And this was surprisingly controversial. Like, I admit I didn't initially see the fuss about this, but it blew up on Reddit. It took over Twitter. I thought it had died on Twitter, and then it came roaring back. What did you all think about this? Like, do you think scouting is an issue? Do you care?
I guess I was just unaware that it was like a thing. Like, I didn't know that it got so involved. Like, I mean, I figure maybe some people are interested in whether people are, you know, playing, and they might try to find out. But the fact that there's like spreadsheets and it's on your smartphone, like, really?
Team efforts.
Yeah, I'm just like, wow, this is a very large operation. I guess I just was completely unaware of it. I don't know how you could police it, though. I know it had been brought up that, you know, WotC had tried to do things in the past about it, but there was no way they could really control it. I guess I just don't know a lot about it other than from, you know, reading, you know, what people have done or people supporting and saying, oh, yeah, you know, we do that. That's definitely a thing. Mm-hmm. Kind of blew my mind a little bit when Brian Kibler was like, oh, yeah, yeah, we do that. That happens. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think, no, go ahead, Allie.
So Matt Sperling wrote an article about this for Channel Fireball, which was also really illuminating for me, because as someone who's never been to a pro tour, I also didn't know that this goes on. And when he described these as, what was it? He said they were syndicates. Mm-hmm. That was the word he used. I just found it so mind-blowing. But he also offered a possible solution, which is that players just, like, couldn't use their cell phones as soon as the pairings go up. There are already rules in place that say that at competitive REL, you can't use your cell phone during a match to keep score or do anything else. But again, I'm not sure how they would enforce that. And he was even saying that there are some teams that would do their scouting on paper. Just writing down what everyone was playing. So I don't know how this could be policed.
They actually made the rule that you can't use your cell phones after they had found out this was happening. Oh. At one of the pro tours. I think it was like a Europe European team, I want to say, but I'm not sure which one was doing just this. And they were uploading everything to a Google Doc, but then they were checking it, like, in the match and looking at, like, oh, what does this person have in their sideboard, and using it that way. But there was nothing in the rules to address it, which is why the electronic policy got changed. And Matt Sperling also proposed being paired against, like, a number, or something along those lines.
Right, and, where they give you your table number instead of your opponent's name.
Yeah, and I think that's a decent idea. Mm-hmm. Like, you go sit down, and if somebody's sitting at the wrong table, you eventually figure it out, but people already do that, so I feel like he kind of shot it down, but I think that that's something worth trying.
Mm-hmm. Did this affect the way that you all look at the pros, or that you look at the pro too, or, like, do you feel this unfair, unsportsmanlike?
I mean, I imagine that some scouting went on. I mean, even here in Seattle, when we had the big 300-person PTQs, there would be play groups scouting what other play groups were playing, and, you know, people meandering around the top tables to see what people were up to. But I just didn't know that it was present to this extent, that there were these Google Docs and spreadsheets and information being shared so quickly, and people watching coverage and telling people what was going on. I think that was the most concerning thing to me, that, you know, someone could be on the outside kind of reporting on, oh, this person's playing this, you know. Just strange.
I knew that scouting happened. It seems to be, like, the big issue is between, you know, there's these teams that have sponsors that help get cards, that take them to the pro tour, and they hang out and test in these big houses. And then there's people like Joe Schmo off the street who won his or placed in his RPTQ and is going alone, you know, mm-hmm. testing with buddies at home, and then he's there. And it seems to be that people have an issue with that imbalance.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember where I read it. Maybe it was in one of the comments on the Reddit thread, but about if you, like, maybe doing a system where if you provide your deck list, you get to see other people's deck lists that they've provided.
Hmm.
Or something like that. But that seems to be getting into some kind of shady area.
Yeah.
I think I agree with you all in that it seems very hard to police something like this. You know, I read the Reddit thread, and I read Matt Sperling's article. And Matt Sperling is somebody that I did not like for the longest time. but I have to say, with this current article, and I think the last two he's written, I've really started to like Matt Sperling. And I'm just like, what is wrong with me? I should not be liking Matt Sperling, but I do. but I digress. You know, I was reading the Reddit thread, and Alex Haynes specifically was talking about the fame aspect, how, you know, it's very hard to keep your deck secret anyways when you are Paulo, when you are Alex, because these guys do have their wheelhouses. You know, if you're running into Reed Duke at a modern event, he's probably playing some version of Black Green, because that's what Reed Duke likes to play. The attention that they garner just for being them, people are going to want to watch their matches, and you can't exactly, you know, turn away spectators because you want to keep your deck private. If Wizards Coverage wants to speak with you and do deck techs or things like that, you know, even if there was no scouting as we know it, there are still so many other ways that this information could get out through deck techs, feature matches, even just talking in between rounds. Like, what are you going to do? Isolate everybody? Like, people are going to do something in between rounds. They're going to discuss what's going on. How can you not? And, you know, I just don't see how there'd be a way to get rid of this altogether. Somebody's going to talk. Somebody's going to see something. I don't think you can, you know, completely do away with this.
You could go drastically in the other direction and just everybody gets deck lists at the Pro Tour. Instead of just top eight, like, you just carry around your deck list, and then you go and sit down, and you're like, here's my deck list, opponent, and then they give you their deck list, and then you just go, and everybody already knows what everybody's playing.
You know, I've always wondered why they do give out deck lists. Like, for example, if you're watching, like, the top eight at a Star City Open, don't they give out the deck list at that point? I thought they did. Why do they do that? Like, I've never understood that. Do you know?
I guess I don't know the exact reasoning. They only do it at professional events, mm-hmm. but I guess they want you to play the best magic you can play, and you do that by knowing your opponent's deck? I don't know. That's an interesting question.
Because I remember seeing people suggest the deck list for everybody, and the pros were like, no, 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 no.
Right.
They were like, let's not get crazy here. And I found that very interesting that was too extreme for them.
But it almost seems like adding another level of skill. Like, if you have this sideboard and your opponent knows what's in your sideboard, and then they're like, well, I think they'll bring this in, then you can kind of, like, next level them and be like, no, I'm going to bring this in, which you would never expect unless you knew my deck and you were trying to next level me. And, you know, just like a continuous cycle.
You bring up a really good point, Katie. Skill is a thing, and I think variance is still a thing, too, where it's like, you know, there have been people where I've known what they're going to play against me just because I know them from the local scene, where, you know, when we have a certain player here who loves, he loves Spread Red, for example. I don't condone anybody picking up this deck, so if you're listening, please do not play Spread Red. You will lose all of your friends, and I might not like you anymore. But so I know he's going to play Spread Red. I know what's in his deck. I've faced him before. That doesn't mean that I'm going to know what he's going to do. I may still draw poorly. I may not see the cards that I need. I may make a misplay. I do think that skill and variance play a part in all of this, where even though you know what somebody plays, it doesn't mean that the cards are going to be kind to you. And likewise, we don't know what he's got on his end of the table or she has on her end of the table. I think those are variables that we need to consider in this, too. And from what I understand, too, the jury is out on exactly how specific these lists were. Like I think Frank Karsten chimed in and debunked some of the myths about how detailed they were. You know, there are some people who were saying that they knew specific cards and, like, you know, unlikely bombs that the people had. And then there were others saying that they were very general archetypes, like Red Green Dragons, Abzan. But you can build Abzan so many different ways. So if all you have on your spreadsheet is Abzan, well, it could be Abzan with Caryatids. It could be Abzan with Fleece Mane Lion in the sideboard. It could be, you know, Abzan with Elsbeth. You know, if it's that general, I'm okay with them having that because there's so many ways to do it. Last but not least, another controversial issue that came up was a rebuttal of sorts to a portion of Gabby Spartz's article. So Gabby wrote an article, which we talked about a couple of shows ago, that we all loved, and it covered some tips on how to get women into magic. One of the things that Gabby covered was hygiene. She had mentioned that, you know, we can all make sure that we're brushing our teeth and showering and wearing clean clothes. And a writer over at Hipsters of the Coast took a little issue with this and wrote a rebuttal. And he wrote an article called The Imagined Magic Hygiene Problem. And basically he was saying that this is all being blown out of proportion. We should not be judging people for hygiene. This is the way we smell naturally. It's not a big deal. What did you think about this? Do you agree?
I think it is kind of a big deal. I'm not saying that you should be like a big jerk and point fingers at someone to be like, this person smells horrible, or let's, you know, go with the whole shaming thing that people were talking about. But I do think that, you know, whether or not you should adhere to societal norms or whatever, you have to kind of go into some things knowing that if you don't brush your teeth, if you don't use deodorant, if you don't do certain things, you might not be pleasing to someone else, and it might bother them whether or not you're breaking the law or physically hurting them. It can be offensive to some people, and that's not to say that they're a bad person or anything like that, but if you're going to do those things, you should go in with that knowledge. There are some people I know that aren't magic players, maybe they play other games, maybe they don't play games at all, that I know for a fact they don't always take a shower, they don't always brush their teeth, their hair. Heck, I've had to call my ex out at certain times to be like, you know, did you just roll out of bed before we went to this tournament or something? And he's like, yep, let's go. And, like, it's no offense to him, but I was like, all right, well, hope you, you know, got everything taken care of a little bit before you left. I don't think that anyone needs to be a jerk about it, like I said, but there is some knowledge to go in with that it could be offensive to other people. Doesn't mean you're a bad person, but you should probably just, you know, take care of it if you can.
I think the Hipsters of the Coast article did make the author of the article did make one point good point when he said that when you put a lot of bodies in a cramped, poorly ventilated space, and those people are, you know, under stressful conditions like playing high level magic, people are going to sweat and people might not smell their best. Like that's something that, you know, we can all acknowledge. And as I said when we were discussing the Gabby Spartz article, like hygiene issues aren't really anything that I've had to deal with in a magic space. I've never had opponents who smelled particularly bad, so this isn't an issue that I have particularly strong opinions on. But I've heard enough people complain about it, you know, Gabby among them, that it does seem like this is a problem in the community.
Yeah, something he said was, like one of his bulleted points is, good hygiene and body odor free are not synonymous. Also, it's none of your business. Mm-hmm. And just in response to that point, I kind of feel like, yeah, it is my business. Like, it's the same as if we're in a grocery store or something and your child is screaming and you're doing nothing to, like, quiet them down or try and see what the problem is. Like, I feel like these are just the same thing, basically. Like, if it's to the point where I can smell it and maybe it's affecting my decision making in the game or, you know, outside of the game, then I think that it is my business. And obviously, like we've said, I'm not going to try and be a jerk or anything, but I feel like there's no harm in trying to address this issue. Mm-hmm. And it seems like he kind of was under the impression that by addressing this issue, everybody's going to be mean to each other, and like, I don't know, I guess I just don't see what the harm is.
Mm-hmm. I think that hygiene is a reasonable expectation. Like, I think, you know, like you said, Katie, you have the right to go to the grocery store and have it be clean. You know, you have the right to, you know, have, you know, I know, I'm trying to think how to put this. I know, for example, the smoking issue was big. You know, you have the right to go to a clean restaurant and not have to worry about eating in a smoke pit. You know, there are certain expectations that we have as human beings. If you go to a restaurant, you expect to sit at a clean table, you know, and have clean silverware. You know, there are just certain expectations that you have. I think hygiene is certainly one of them. If you're going to spend time around anybody, I think it's reasonable to have that expectation that person took care of themselves and that they cleaned themselves up. One thing I found really interesting was you mentioned the space issue, a lot of bodies in one place. And my response to that is going to be that you can prepare for that sort of thing. You know, like if you knew that you were going somewhere and you were going to be cold, you would take a hoodie. If you knew that you were playing in a 9-round GP, you'd bring some snacks. If you know that you're going to be playing in a cramped room, or just around thousands of people, or if you know yourself, like I know that I have foot sweating issues. I know that I have sweating issues, period. I take little mini deodorants with me, those little travel-sized deodorants. I put one in my bag. It's not that big, and in between rounds, I can de-stress in the bathroom and reapply if I need to. You know, you would prepare for that like you would prepare for anything else. If you know that you're going to be in close quarters, be like, ooh, I should probably bring some gum. I don't want to, oof. You know, just knowing where you're going to be. And I think those of us who've been playing Magic for a long time, we know what we're in for, so we should be able to prepare for that kind of thing. Bring the granola, bring a breath mint. You know, I don't think that's something you can't consider when you know you're going to a tournament.
That's fair.
So, the other thing I agree with you all on is that I think it's something that's really tricky to enforce. Like, I agree that some of the signs are kind of tactless, where I wouldn't necessarily put that out in front of a store. There was also somebody who left a Facebook status saying that they got somebody DQ'd. I think that's uncalled for. Like, I certainly wouldn't want anybody to... I would never call a judge over a smell, personally.
Yeah.
I would never want to see anybody be DQ'd or receive a game loss for that. I think that's crossing the line. I also think it's... I also can't say that I would tell anybody... I can't say I would tell a stranger that they smell bad. I would certainly tell my friends, but I do agree a little bit that I don't think I'm the one to tell you, if we've never met, that I think you have a problem. Like, that seems a little off to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So. I don't even know how you get DQ'd for that. Like, it doesn't fall under any of the DQ-able offenses.
Yeah.
Like, you can definitely be removed from a tournament, but that's mostly by, like, TO. So it kind of scares me that somebody got DQ'd for that, but
I think
guess
it's. I think they should also talk about because other than BO, I've heard. Chris, do you remember when we went to States and there was somebody who smelled like pot?
yes, I was dying. And I have no problem with that. Everybody do their own thing, but it was just like, holy shit. Like, where is this coming from? It was just like I was waiting for like a contact high any minute. And it was just becoming overwhelming. And other people did notice it. So it's just kind of like, okay, this is the odd man out, you know.
So there
Ugh.
can be other offensive odors besides body odor. You know, you could be a smoker and smell like cigarettes. I've been around people who smell like booze at magic events. You know, I would like to see the discussion expanded to just scents in general. You can even be somebody who wears too much cologne. Like that can be too much of a good thing. So I think this is a good discussion to have. I would like to see it expanded to, because even if you try to Google it. Even if you try to Google offensive odor, nobody can really agree on what the standard is for that. Like, how do you know it's offensive? What is offensive? Is it BO? Is it too much cologne? You know, whatever. It is really open-ended, and I think it's really hard to enforce something like that. Especially because when you do try to enforce it, it usually does end up affecting, I guess, minorities or disenfranchised people like Washington. I read an article that some city in Washington was trying to ban smelly folks, but most of the people, swear to God, it was an actual thing. But most of the people that ended up being affected by this were the homeless, were the elderly. You know, they're not getting the perky blonde from Lululemon after a yoga session. They're going after, you know, they're going after, you know, likely targets. So something like this, you know, it is really hard to, you know, police it and not, you know, seem like you're targeting a group of people. So we received a listener email this week, last minute, but still a very lovely email, and having to do with something we discussed a little earlier. Emails from Melissa. She says, "Good morning, Aaron, Chris, Hallie, and Katie. I've been listening to your show since the first episode, and it is the only podcast that I listen to every week on the day of its release. I'm a relatively new female Magic player, and I love listening to your stories, tournament reviews, and advice. For the record, I play at a really great LGS with a wonderful group of guys that make me feel welcome and included. Yay! The bathroom is clean, but nothing special, so I will not be entering your bathroom contest." I have a question after hearing about Brenda Smith this weekend at the Cleveland SEG Open. I missed her match, but I was shocked and upset to read the retweets of the comments on Twitch while she was playing her match. I'm glad to hear that she came back to make day two. My question is, do you know if you can refuse to play on camera at a Grand Prix or SCG Open? I have asked to not be on camera at my LGS for FNM, but I don't know if you can refuse at the larger tournaments. I would imagine it would make a difference if it were in early rounds when the coverage team would have a lot of choice of undefeated players versus being in the top eight or something. Thanks again. And keep up the good work. Good luck in Vegas. Best, Melissa. So I asked some friends at Star City Games who did not want to be quoted officially on this, but they did tell me that at a Star City Games Open, you can turn down a feature match. If it is a logistics issue and they can't make it happen, they will at least turn off Twitch chat while you are playing, so that won't be going. And that it is much easier to accommodate your request if you are not, say, in the finals. If you are in the finals, it can become a lot more difficult to manage that, especially if there are no other folks playing. But as a general rule, and by and large, yes, you can request that, and they will 9 times out of 10 make that happen for you.
So can you request to just have the Twitch chat turned off
Yes. You don't
instead
necess-
of?
yeah, you don't have to have that. The only problem with that, though, and which we saw with Brenda Smith, was that when the replays happened, people were still shitty in the replays. Yeah. So even
Stupid,
if they
shitty
turn,
people.
right? So even if they turn off the chat while you're on it, if they happen to replay your match throughout the night and somebody's watching that, they can still choose to spew hate towards you. Is that
I
something
see.
you all would do? I know, Chris, you said you are not eager to be on camera, but Hallie, Katie, would you ask for this?
I've never been on camera before. I don't know that I would mind it. I think I would be more nervous about messing up than about what people would say about me. Like I've developed a fairly thick skin over the last several years. But I don't know. I might request to have the Twitch chat turned off, but I don't think I would turn down a feature match itself.
Hallie's got her hair ready. She's ready to go.
I don't think I would turn down a feature match either. I think I was going to say that I think it does more good than harm. Like, if people want to throw insults at me, like, that's fine. Maybe my feelings will be hurt, but I'll roll with the punches. But I guess, you know, we got that email from Melissa, and she said, that makes me terrified. I would never want to go on a feature match. And so, you know, I want to see more women in competitive magic, and that comes along with feature matches. But I'm also worried that it's deterring women if this kind of thing is happening. Mm-hmm. I don't think I would turn down a feature match, but I would hope that it wouldn't deter other women from taking a feature match, I guess.
Yeah. It's kind of like there was there have been discussions about having female commentators on magic coverage. And, you know, I've had this discussion several times. And ultimately, it comes down to whichever woman gets picked for that. You know, if we ever get to the point where there is a female commentator, she's going to have quite the burden, because she's going to have to be able to take all of that, because there are people that are going to be saying things, and there are people that are not going to be nice about it. And, you know, we need the visibility, but at the same time, we need a woman who can handle that. And asking somebody to be okay with that is tough, you know, because it is something, unfortunately, you have to think about, and it's tricky. You know, it makes it that much harder to be visible, knowing that you have to tangle with that. So, like, I don't know anybody who'd willingly sign up for that.
Yeah, okay.
I think I would.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Really? I've got some big lady balls. I'd do it.
Katie the Heat Neal gives no fucks.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I just don't give any fucks anymore. Like, people are going to be mean, and that's fine. I'm still going to do my thing and try and enjoy it to the best of my ability. And I think commentary would be a blast to do. Like, I think they have a lot of fun doing it. Otherwise, they wouldn't keep doing it, you know, unless the money is just that awesome that they have, like, no other choice. But, you know, it seems like an enjoyable thing to at least try out once.
All I can think about is, I don't know if you all, Rich Hagen did an interview on Marshall Sutcliffe's podcast. Marshall Sutcliffe started this show called The One-on-One.
The One for One.
And he interviewed Rich Hagen. And I don't want to get too personal or too in-depth about what Rich said, but, you know, Rich Hagen even said that he gets stressed about this, and that there are times where even he has a hard time dealing with the criticism. And hearing somebody say that, you know, hearing somebody who you would think would have an easy time of it, you know, he's a dude, he's white, he's fairly likable, like, I can't find anything to hate about Rich Hagen, but to see somebody like that even kind of crumble a little bit even makes me a little hesitant, where it's like, well, if he can't hang, what makes me think I can? You know, like, he's somebody that you would think would have a very easy time with it, and he's really struggled with being in the spotlight and being in the booth.
I really love that interview, and yeah. I recommend people check it out. You know, if you don't listen to anything else we say, you should listen to that, because yeah. It's pretty fantastic.
Yeah. So. Agreed. Anything else we'd like to get off our chest before we wrap up the show?
I am officially done with undergraduate.
Yay!
So what does mean? Are you a legit vet now?
Oh, no. I have 4 years of vet school to start this fall. But I am halfway there. My graduation is next weekend, so just hanging out till then. But I am quite proud to be done and on to the next thing, I guess. Oh,
fantastic.
Oh, it's a good feeling.
Yeah. So if anybody's enjoyed listening to the show, where can they find us? How can they get a hold of us?
So I'm Hallie. You can find me on Twitter at HalCanSan. That's HalCanSan. You can send me an email at hcsmtg@gmail.com. You can read my articles here on gatheringmagic.com. And today my new computer was delivered, so I'm going to start streaming soon.
Yeah. Exciting.
Yeah, I have a Mac, and it's really hard to stream on a Mac because it can't run Magic Online unless you install Parallels, and that's kind of complicated. So we ordered a desktop for our new house, and as soon as I get it set up and get all the equipment I need, I'm going to start streaming.
You should let me know how that goes because I'd be interested in streaming too.
Okay, cool.
Like, we could stream together.
Yay!
Wow.
Dual streams. Don't
Do
cross
you guys
the
want to quad stream with us?
stream.
Oh man, my computer can't even handle X-Mage. My computer can barely even handle what we're doing right now. I'd be happy to come moderate your streams, though.
That would be
Kick all
awesome.
those mean people out.
Yeah, you can be my bouncer.
I am very okay with that. How about it, Chris? We can be bouncers.
Ooh, I could do that.
I would not want Chris bouncing me out of anything. I feel like she could really just take me downtown hard. Anyway, I'm Katie. You can find me on Twitter at KatieN_14 or by email. My email is katie.neil14@gmail.com.
And I'm Chris. My Twitter is THKRIZ. That's to Chris. My Gmail is YOTHKRIZ, yo to Chris. And my Tumblr is also to Chris.
And I am Erin. You can find me on Twitter at Original Estrus. That is OriginalOestrus. You can email me at estrus@elitistjerks.com. Send us your questions at thegirlfriendbracket@gmail.com. You can tweet us at the GF Bracket. The show is on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Please subscribe and leave us a review and some stars. Next week, we will announce the winner of our most beautiful LGS bathroom contest. We received a couple good submissions. So we will have to discuss and choose the winner. And other than that, we will see you next week. Thanks for listening. Bye.
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 Bye.